Deuteronomy chapter 26, I just want to look at the last few verses there, starting from verse 15. So Deuteronomy 26 and verse 15, I'm just going to read them again there, where it reads, "Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he have spoken." And the title of my sermon today is Moving Home God's Way. Moving Home God's Way. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many lessons you give us in the Bible. Thank you for just giving us the Bible, giving us the word of God, the preserved word of God, that we could trust every word. Help us to understand what you're saying to us today through your word about how we want to be when we move to this new building. Help me to preach loudly, boldly, clearly. Fill me with your spirit, please, Lord. Help those to have attentive ears, attentive hearts, and to want to apply this to their lives and ultimately to the church's life as we move forward now. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so in Deuteronomy, Moses is preparing the children of Israel to finally enter the promised land. I say finally because it was supposed to happen 40 years earlier, but they had had to wait. And we as well have had to wait a little bit, haven't we, to move buildings. We were kind of planning on moving about a year and 4 months ago, I think, and that's kind of been dragging on and dragging on. We were only expecting to be in Southend a couple of months. At the beginning, we thought it was only going to be temporary. We were looking all over the place, and that dragged on, didn't it? But I'll tell you what, we've learned a lot in that time, and we've done a lot in that time, and we've made a real impact on Southend in that time, haven't we? And I was just reading out some of those salvations and just thinking about that. I mean, a good half of them plus have been in the area of Southend. That's a lot of people saved in one town, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, a lot of people. And you know, we made a difference. Now we're time to move on from here. Well, it wasn't 40 years, but 18 months later, and like I said, God's provided us with a new home against the odds, okay? And it was against the odds. And in case you're sitting there going, "Well, you know, Brother Ian, why is it so hard to find a church building?" Because basically, they've changed all these use classes in the UK with commercial buildings, where everything that used to qualify for what would be a church building, and I'm not going to go too technical, but there's a category of D1 use, okay, and that covered a whole range of buildings, and then they changed them, and so many of those D1s became what's called E-use, which you can't have a church building in. Church buildings became F1. Now, the sad truth is hardly any buildings out there are F1, and the ones that are, it seems, get snapped up pretty quickly by people that then rent them out on the hour to a load of false churches, and you don't really want to be swapping with a load of false churches in the few buildings left. So I couldn't believe it when I started looking how difficult it actually is to find someone that's just that either has that use class or is happy to have that use class changed. And it's taken me 18 months of a lot of searching and a lot of calling and a lot of emailing and thinking, well, you know, and in that time God's blessed us. He's blessed us with a home, but now he's given us somewhere and it's time to move on. Well, maybe Wickford will or won't be a land flowing with milk and honey. I hope it will be. Yeah, those of you who might know Wickford are thinking, really? But I don't know. But either way, I know that it's where God wants us.
Yeah.
Okay? It's where God wants us. He's led us to this point now, and we're going to be moving to Wickford. Now, it is likely to be a permanent home for us. Okay? Like I said, I've taken a long-term lease on a place. If and when we grow out of it, firstly, we're able to increase the size where we are with an upstairs. And if we still grow out of it, there are many other bigger buildings in that whole area. So I think that's where we're going to be. That's going to be our home. And we want to make sure that we move home God's way, don't we? Yeah. If we're going to move home, we want to make sure that we do it God's way. And there is a right and a wrong way to move home, isn't there? Anyone here who's done house moving before, there's a wrong way to move house and there's a right way. And as you start to build up kids, and when you build up kids, you build up stuff. When you move, and unfortunately we have moved quite a few times, there's a wrong way to do it. There's a wrong way, like, I don't know, like maybe trying to skimp on removal vans and thinking, I'll just do it with a couple of runs. And next thing you know, you're on the sixth run and you're looking at the time, I've got to get this van back, and everything goes a bit wrong. And there's a wrong way when you think, don't worry, we'll just pack the last few bits as we're moving. And suddenly you're throwing in like single items into the back of a van and you've run out of boxes and things like that. There are many wrong ways of doing things. You can move into a home. Anyone ever done this before, where you move in, I'll unpack that box soon. Yeah, well, that box is still unpacked, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe a couple of things have been taken out of that box, and then you think, why did I even bring that box a year later? Because I don't seem to be using anything in that box. And that's the wrong way of doing it. And then there's a right way, isn't there? There's a right way in doing it and being organised and getting everything right. Well, we want to do things the right way when we move spiritual homes, we move our church, we move our home to Wickford. We want God to look down from heaven, like in verse 15, where it says, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people, Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, we are his people, Israel, and we want his blessing, yeah? How do we get it? How do we get his blessing? Well, he said in verse 16, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. So first off is a simple concept. Yeah, a very simple concept. Follow his rules, live right, and we'll be blessed. Yeah? Okay, that's a simple concept in scripture there. But here's the thing. Notice how he's talking to the nation as a collective singular. Yeah, see that there? Verse 18, he said, and the Lord hath avouched thee, that's singular, this day, to be his peculiar people, that's plural. He's talking to the nation as a whole, as a singular. And there are blessings and cursings, aren't there, that came on Israel as a nation, and later Judah, based on their behaviour as a nation. Yeah? You've seen that in Scripture. If you read through the Old Testament, you see that a lot. Now, turn to Joshua 7 for one of many, many examples. Like, there are many examples of this in Scripture, but this is probably one of the most famous ones. They've just destroyed Jericho. They've had an amazing victory. But Achan coveted and stole. He stole first a coat, didn't he? He saw this goodish Babylonian garment. He stole some of the gold and silver that was meant to be dedicated to the Lord, that was the Lord's. So he's just seen it, he's coveted it, he's stolen it. Now look at Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1. And notice the wording here. This is Achan that did this. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So look how God holds the children of Israel responsible here, yeah? Look at verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. So they're getting ready to continue the conquest and scope out the next on the list, which is Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labour thither, for they are but few. So maybe there was a pride and arrogance growing among the people that resulted in Achan stealing. I don't know, because they seem pretty confident here. They seem maybe overly confident here. And obviously they've just come off the back of this Jericho victory, this amazing Jericho victory where the walls have fallen flat. You know, it was an amazing scene. It was an amazing thing that happened. God's clearly with them. Maybe that's part of it. Verse 4 says, so they went up thither with the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. So they've only sent 3,000 men. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So they've lost 36. The other approximately 2,964 men have just legged it. I mean, it's hardly like they fought to the death, is it, either? They've lost 36 men, the rest of them have just kind of just ran off, yeah? Jump forward to verse 11, where God explains why this happened. So verse 11, Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Noticing the wording there, yeah? Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. So Achan, if you know the story, ends up getting rumbled, doesn't he? They kind of get to the bottom of it and he gets put to death. You can see from this story, even just away from just the influence of the sin, why Paul said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Because here it's not even that, well, the effects of that sin then went on to... No, God looked down and blamed Israel. God looked down and blamed the people as a collective, didn't he, for the sin of one man and his family. Yeah? So, go back to Deuteronomy 26. You might be sitting there thinking, well, that's Israel, Brother Ian. That's the Old Testament, that's Israel. We're just a small independent church, aren't we? Yes, and they were just a big independent church. Yeah, they were the church in the wilderness, weren't they? Yeah, they were the church in the wilderness. They were a big independent church, and hopefully we're going to become a big independent church. But either way, it's not based on the size. It works the same way with us. Verse 16, back in Deuteronomy 26, says, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Again, it's a collective command, but talking in the singular to them as a whole. And there's a collective result, isn't there? If we want the blessings of God as a church, everyone here, we need to keep and do his statutes and judgments with all our hearts and souls. Yeah. That means that we need to encourage each other to not let the side down. It's a team game, yeah? And there's no I in team, yeah? Okay, we all need to be encouraging. We all need to be doing our best for the team, for the church. Verse 17 says, thou hast a vouch. A vouch is affirmed, maintained, called into support, agreed. So basically, they've made this agreement. The Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. So, by going into the land, they've avouched, they've affirmed that God is their God, and that they will walk in his ways, okay? Keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. What's his voice? The word of God, yeah? To hearken unto the word of God, to hearken unto the preaching, to hearken unto your Bible reading, to hearken unto to every time you're hearing the word of God, you're getting convicted of things in the word of God. God's affirmed that they're his particular people. His peculiar people. And no, they didn't have silly sideburns. They didn't have funny hats on their heads. They didn't wear weird top hats with fur around them. That's got to be hot at this time. Do they still wear those in the summer? Anyone know? Yeah, a couple of nods there. Okay, so they've still got the fur on the hat. Wow. Okay, that's not what he's talking about, is he? He's not talking about peculiarly dressed, yeah? He's not talking about like peculiar weird stuff like head banging walls and things like that. That's not what he's talking about here, is it? He's talking about his peculiar people because of the fact they're going to be holy. Right. They are unlike everyone else. Well, he's also affirmed that they should keep all his commandments, isn't he? Verse 19 says, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in name and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God as he hath spoken. So we want to be high above all people when we move, don't we? In praise, in name and in honour. A holy people. Now, how does that look in 2022 in Wickford, Essex? Yeah? How does that look? Well, do we need the tallest building in town then? Yeah? Do we need to get planning permission for a steeple? Is it a steeple or a spire? Same thing? Same thing, yeah? Okay. Okay, do we need that? The tallest one we can? No. The height above all nations, above the people, is above the false and wishy-washy churches in it, isn't it? Yeah, it's above those other people, those other nations, those other ways. It's to be above them all in praise, in name, and in honour. And that's 3 points that we're going to look at today. And the title is Moving Home God's Way. Number one, we want to tower over Wickford in praise. Okay, we want to tower over Wickford in praise. What does it mean to be made high above all nations in praise? Is that the praise of us? Well, turn over to 1 Peter 2, where Peter is addressing the churches in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 1. Reads, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, that's a good start there, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Right, that's us. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's Jesus there. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So something to remember, that those disobedient to the gospel stumble at Christ, don't they? They're offended by him, they stumble at the word. And don't they stumble at the word? Yeah, they stumble at the word. You notice that when you're out soul winning, how often they stumble at the word. We were chatting yesterday. Everyone, as usual, as always, when you go out soul winning, especially when you do a marathon, you're going to come back with lots of interesting stories, aren't you? Lots of interesting people who, it doesn't matter how many verses you point at and show them exactly what God says, they will still just stumble at that word, won't they? They'll stumble at it. They cannot deal with it. They cannot cope with it. It is something that they stumble at. They just can't seem to get over whatever their preconceived notion is of you must repent of your sins, you know, or whatever it is. Well, these people are like that, but we, what about us, the saved? Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Now, he's talking to what would be known as Gentile believers here. Yeah, verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people. And it applies to all believers, doesn't it? We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Yeah, we've inherited those promises. We've inherited that description, haven't we? Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn to 26:18, said, and the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honour, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. So, like I said, we as a church have taken over from Israel by faith in Christ Jesus, and in Deuteronomy, we need to be high above all nations in praise. Yeah? Now, I don't believe it's talking about us being praised. I don't think it's us being praised. As that people, we're told here in verse 9, where you are in 1 Peter, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. I believe that means that it's in praising him that we want to be towering over Wickford. Okay, it's in the praise of him, it's how we praise him, towering over Wickford in the way that we praise him, and ultimately it will be towering over Essex and really the whole of the UK. Yeah. Amen. Turn to Psalm 69. How do we praise him? In song, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Yeah. Singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Yeah. Psalm 69, that's the main way that we praise him. Psalm 69, you're turning to. We're going to look from verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Okay, so praising with song often involves thanksgiving, doesn't it, as well? Verse 31 says, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. So he prefers praise in song to all of those Old Testament sacrifices, and they can be a sweet-smelling savour to the Lord, can't they? But he loves the praise. He loves it when we praise him. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Because there's an effect on those around us to seeing and hearing the proper praise of God, isn't there? Amen. Yeah, there's an effect on those around us, effect on those that visit the church, effect on those that walk past the church to hear the proper praise of God in song. Hearing men and women make a sweet melody to the Lord week in, week out. Yeah? Mm-hmm. There's an effect that that can have on people.
Yeah?
Not wondering if it's a pop concert. Not walking past, wondering what actually is going on in there. Just sounds like another pop concert or another worldly bar, pub, club or something else. Because a lot of the time in some of these churches, you can't hear the words, can you? Not that the words really make much difference anyway a lot of the time. Just sounds like anything else. But a lot of the time, all you can hear is the drums. The drums, the bass, the wailing and everything else. Well, it's not what we want. You have to turn to Romans 12:2 says, and be not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that includes not hearing some wannabe pop idol soloing some contemporary trash. Yeah, I've been at churches where they do that. They got a special, and then someone stands up there, and you're just thinking, is this just some worldly pop idol thing? And they're like, yeah. and they always sing an American accent, don't they? As well, in England, in some place, English young lady just going, yes, oh, and it's like, sort yourself out, yeah. Because really, they're not modelling themselves, because there's nothing to model yourself in the Word of God on that, is there? No, they're just modelling themselves on some worldly junk, aren't they? They're modelling themselves on whatever they've been staring at on the box. Well, instead, we want God's people to be singing loud and clear doctrine, yeah? Amen. Traditional hymns of the faith,
amen.
Yeah? Singing words which have substance, amen. Singing hymns which are not conformed to this world. Verse 33, where you are, says, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. He wants everyone praising him. And that has to start at the house of God, though, doesn't it? It starts at the house of God. That means open up your lungs when you're here. Yeah? Open up your lungs when you're here. And it's going to be when we're there in Wickford. Make sure you're singing. Yeah, if God's people can't even open up their mouths and they're just kind of whispering and everything else, well, how do we expect everyone else to be singing praises to the Lord, yeah? We're his people. We've been saved by him. We love him, don't we? Everyone loves the Lord here. We love him and we want to praise him, yeah? Make sure you're all praising the Lord, especially when we're moving there. Turn to Psalm 95. Obviously, we still want to make it sound nice, yeah? That doesn't mean shout to the Lord. Yeah, when we sing, we're trying to make a joyful noise, aren't we? You're turning to Psalm 95, and we're going to look from verse 1. Psalm 95 and verse 1 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now, look, you might screech like a cat when you sing. Yeah, you might bellow like some sort of, you know, soy dog or something else when you sing, but look, just try and make it a joyful noise, yeah? Open up your mouth anyway. You know, here's a trick. If you sing in the week and you listen to the Lord and you listen to hymns and you try and sing along, I reckon you're going to get more in tune, yeah? You will get, look, some people are a little bit tone deaf, yeah? There are people like that. I'm not saying there's anyone here like that. I don't think there is, but some people are. Sometimes kids, it takes them a little while to get it, yeah? But maybe you practice, yeah? You practice anything. You might be able to at least get the song. You might be able to get the hymn. Yeah, you can practice the hymns here. You can listen to the hymns. Take the hymn sheet home with you. Have a little think about what we've sung and maybe practice it for next time if you thought, man, I was really screeching, yeah? Because we want to make a joyful noise to the Lord, but we still want to sing. So when you're here, don't, oh, well, I haven't got a break. Look, still sing to the Lord, yeah? He wants to hear a noise, yeah? It's better that it's a joyful noise, but he still wants to hear a noise, yeah? He still wants to hear a noise. Now, there should be joy in our voices, though, shouldn't there? Shouldn't there be joy in our voices?
Yeah.
You ever been in those old quiet churches where the hymn's being sung and it is pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Old Mrs. Miggins at the back is just like screeching away and everyone else is kind of whispering. And anyone walks into that and they're thinking, what a joyful noise unto the Lord. They're thinking, what have I just walked into? Pretty bad. It's even worse when it's a cappella as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's bad, isn't it? When you're in those churches like that. But people, we want people to come in here and go, wow. Yeah, and just go, wow. What a joyful noise people are making to the Lord. Look at everyone in here is just singing with their hearts. They're not ashamed of singing to the Lord. They're not wondering who's listening, who's in front of me, who's behind. They're just singing to the Lord. Singing to the Lord. They're making a joyful noise to the rock of their salvation. Yeah, that's what we want, don't we? That's what we want. That's how we want to do it when we move in. We want to make sure that when people walk past, they can hear us singing to the Lord. Yeah, week in, week out. Not to be like those other churches, not to be like those alternative churches. And on the flip side, we don't want to be like those churches where it's just some sort of rock party either. Goes without saying. But to show forth the praises of him, to tower over over Wickford in praise, you need to be here in the first place, don't you? You need to be here in the first place. That should go without saying, shouldn't it? You have to turn to Psalm 35:18 says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among much people. Much people. So if you're not at church, well, again, we're not towering over Wickford in praise. If the numbers start getting quieter and quieter and people just aren't really turning up, well, I've got something a bit more important today. Well, I don't know. I don't really fancy it today. Look, here's a good rule for you in life. Church comes first.
Amen.
Make church come first and plan everything else around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, church is a constant. Church is a must. Church is something you do no matter what. Barring illness, yeah? And then the rest of it gets planned around it. As soon as you start making church, well, I'm not sure because I've got that invite, or, well, today, I don't know, I am a little bit tired because I didn't get to bed till late last night. I think a lion comes first this morning, or whatever it is. Believe me, church will start going further and further and further down that list, yeah? Church comes first because if we want to tower above Wickford in praise the Lord, we need people here praising the Lord. Now, but as well, if you're here, if you're here in church, if you're there in church, when we move in here, I'm just talking about the church, our church, yeah? Where you are when you're with our church, you need to make sure that you're ready to sing as well. Yeah, make sure that you're ready to sing. If that passerby walks by during verse 1 of hymn number 1 on a Sunday morning, is he more likely to hear the slurping of the coffee addicts? Yeah? Is he more likely to instead hear the quick, get this down this before we get in, while everyone else is singing and you're trying to rush in, or the footsteps of everyone trying to get in there because they didn't quite get their coffee or tea fix in the morning? Is he more likely to maybe hear the screeching of brakes of the late arrivals? You know, hand braking round the corner to get here in time, yeah? Rather than hearing the singing, the praise of the Lord, yeah? Yeah, we want to make sure we're here. Yeah, that first hymn's just important, isn't it? That might be when that passerby walks by and they walk by and they can hardly hear a thing because all they can hear is, you know, people trying to get in there, they've missed the first. That first verse is important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be here ready to sing to the Lord. Turn back to 1 Peter 2. So we want to make sure when we move, and obviously, you know, that's next week. We want to make sure that from day one, we are high above Wickford in the praise of the Lord, yeah? High above Wickford, high above Essex, high above the UK. Deuteronomy 26:19 said, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in name and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Okay, so the title is Moving Home God's Way. We want to tower over Wickford in praise. We want to tower over Wickford in name, don't we? We want to tower over Wickford in name. What does that mean? Well, look at are you in 1 Peter 2, yeah? Yes, so you are, yeah. Okay, look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are the people of God, yeah? Everyone here, you're saved, you're the people of God. We're Christians because we obtained mercy, didn't we? Yeah, we obtained mercy through the shed blood, the death, burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved, and we can boast of that, can't we? Is that okay? Is it okay to boast? It is when you're boasting of the Lord. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Well, I read 2 Corinthians 10:17, which says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Yeah? If you want to glory in something, don't glory in yourself. Don't glory in your wife, your children, your best friend. Look, glory in the Lord, yeah? Let's glory in the Lord. We are high above the nations in name because we name the name of Christ, yeah? And that name is above all names, isn't it? Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Yeah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Amen.
Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
coming soon. But that name is above every name. And we need to name that name and be not ashamed of naming it, yeah? Make sure you name the name of Christ. Make sure you're not ashamed of the name of Christ. But how do we do that? Because there are so many, in inverted commas, Christians, aren't there? There are so many Christians around. So how do we really name the name of Christ? Shall I tell you how we do that? We do that by being, by glorying in the Lord and by naming the name that we are New Independent Fundamental Baptists. Amen. Okay, we're not ashamed of that, are we? I hope no one here is ashamed of being a New Independent Fundamental Baptist, because by naming that name, by saying, yeah, I'm a New Independent Fundamental Baptist, our church is a New Independent Fundamental Baptist church, is saying that we believe every word of God.
Amen.
That's what we're saying. We're naming the name of Christ. We're naming his word. We're saying we believe every word of God. Yeah, we looked at Matthew 4 and verse 4, where Jesus said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yeah, we live by every word of God, don't we? We believe every word of God. Amen. We don't pick and choose. No. We don't just select the bits that we think maybe will go down well with the rest of the world. No, by being New Independent Fundamental Baptist, by being high above the nations in name, we're naming the name of Christ. We're saying, no, we believe every word of God. Yeah? And that includes the preservation part, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe, I even believe that bit where he said he'd preserve his word. Fancy that. Yeah, I even believe that bit where through the psalmist he said, thy words are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I believe that. Yeah, fancy that. I believe that. And I believe that I have that in the King James Bible.
Right.
Yeah, I have the word of God preserved. I have it in my hand. Yeah, and a real church says, yeah, we live by every word of this book, don't we?
Right.
Yeah, we live by, and we're not ashamed of that, are we?
Right.
I hope no one's ashamed of every word of this book. Not ashamed of the bits that don't go down well in this wicked world, this sinful and adulterous generation that we live in. How can we be ashamed of that? Turn to Mark chapter 8, where, in fact, he says exactly that. Because we're not ashamed of him or his word, are we? Mark 8 and verse 36 we're going to look at. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And when you look at it like that, being ashamed of the Lord and his words in this sinful and adulterous generation, like that's pitiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that pitiful? When you looked outside this morning and someone just lies down on the street, right across, we looked out the window of the kitchen and there's, I don't even know if it was a lady or a man, you couldn't even tell, yeah? Cracked out, probably drunk, lying down in the street opposite our church, yeah? And you go out there in a little while, in not long probably, and you're going to see people that are gone their way to that across the road in that pub. You're going to see people walking past dressed like they're basically, you know, professional women of the night. You're going to see men out there dressed like they're as queer as you like. You're going to see people just acting in vile ways. You're going to see blatant open sodomites out there. You're going to see all sorts of filth. You're going to sometimes see people, men dressed as women out there. You're going to see women dressed as men. And by the way, because we talk about that a lot, don't we, the vile men dressed as women, but how many women have been dressed as men for a long time now? Yeah, and I'm not just talking about just the clothing. I'm talking about the way they do their hair, the way they walk, the way they hold themselves, all these bull dykes walking. It's disgusting. Isn't it disgusting? What an adulterous and sinful generation we live in. Yet how many Christians are still ashamed of the word of God?
Yeah.
Ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, ashamed of his standards, ashamed of his morals, ashamed of his commands. How many are like that? How many, sadly, people in here have had times and will still have times when they're a little bit embarrassed, a little bit ashamed to call themselves a New Independent Fundamental Baptist? Because is there anything about being a New Independent Fundamental Baptist which is outside the Word of God? I hope not, because if there is, then that's not what we want to follow. But I don't see that. I see men and women who just want to follow the word of God, who just believe every word of God, yeah? Who believe the Lord when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We want to live by every word, don't we? Yeah, we're not picking and choosing. We're not going, well, yeah, but Schofield said something else. Larkin said something else. Yeah, we're not going, yeah, but the world now says something else. We're definitely not saying, yeah, but the Pope says something else, are we? Because I don't care what that dress-wearing weirdo in Rome says about God. It's got nothing to do with what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says is what we care about, isn't it?
Right.
Again, we shouldn't be ashamed of that. Because I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Do you want Jesus to be embarrassed of you? Do you want Jesus to be a little bit ashamed, a little bit... You know, that guy, that girl, that lady, that kid. Sometimes for kids it can be hard as well, can't it? Be hard going to a school, being around the world, being around other kids, and being different. Yeah? Being that one who believes something else, being that one who acts differently, being that one that maybe dresses differently, being that one that maybe talks differently, being that one that doesn't watch the junk on TV, being that one that doesn't listen to the worldly music, being that one that doesn't maybe have a lot in common with the other kids. But do you really want to be ashamed of that, kids? Are you ashamed of that? Are you going there and ashamed in front of your friends, your worldly friends, the worldly kids around, to be dressed differently, to be acting differently? Well, I hope not, because that means Jesus is going to be ashamed of you. And we don't want Jesus ashamed of us. No, it's got nothing to do with salvation like the wicked false prophets like to preach. But look, we want Jesus to be able to stand there and go, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah? Turn back to 1 Peter 2. To tower over Wickford in name is that in time, people will know that that's where you go. People know in Essex, people already know in the UK that that's where you go if you want to hear the whole Bible preached. Yeah, that's where you go if you want to hear the real Jesus preached. Way above the steeples, the watchtowers, the bell towers, or whatever other tall so-called religious buildings is Shore Foundation Baptist Church UK. Yeah, that's a name that's lifted up, that's above all. Turn to 1 Peter 2, haven't you? Deuteronomy 26:19 said, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in name, and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. So the title is Moving Home God's Way. Number one, we want to tower above Wickford in praise. We want to tower over Wickford in name. Number three, we want to tower over Wickford in honour. Yeah, we want to tower over Wickford in honour. Verse 11, where you are, says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, yeah, he's pleading, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in a day of visitation. So to be high above all nations in honour is in how we behave, yeah? In our honesty, in our reputation. How are we going to be known by those surrounding our new building? Anyone wonder that now? How are we going to be known by those surrounding our new building? Firstly, we should be abstaining from fleshly lusts, shouldn't we? Yeah? We should be. Now, there's the obvious things that people think about. But turn to 2 Corinthians 5. That means we don't want to be getting all carnal when we're out soul winning. Yeah? That means you don't want to be going out soul winning and getting all carnal on the door with people. Okay, and I'm talking to everyone here with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You're an ambassador for Christ, yeah? Everyone here, if you're saved, you're an ambassador for Christ. Ambassadors are diplomatic. Ever notice that? They're diplomatic. We're representing Christ and we're representing his church. Yeah? Okay, if our name, if we're shown that we're clearly following the word of God, that we represent the real Jesus Christ in his church, we represent the preserved, inspired word of God, we represent how we believe God wants his church, then I hope that you're going to be representing God's church properly when you're out soul winning. Yeah? Because it can be tempting sometimes to get carnal, can't it? It can be tempting for the little put down on the door. It can be tempting with that person who's a bit rude to you to be a little bit rude back. Can't it? It can, look. I'm not saying everyone raise your hands now. Yeah, 100 every week, Brother Ian. Yeah, I let them have it, man. You should see round Southend. They hate us. Yeah? No, look, it can be tempting, can't it? But we shouldn't want to do that, should we? Yeah, we should. Look, sometimes it can be fun, I know. Yeah? Okay. But that is carnal, isn't it? That is carnal. Yeah, we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ because something to consider is this, yeah? Unlike here, and look, we're still ambassadors for Christ at Southend. And we're still today ambassadors for Christ at Southend. But unlike here, we're planning to be there for a long time. Yeah, we're planning to be there for many years. My plan is to knock every door near the church within a year and then to go back the next year. Okay, you might be knocking that same door that a year earlier you just had to be a bit rude to them. You got in a row at the door because you just couldn't resist. But who's to say that person that was rude that year might have been softened the next year? Yeah, who's to say that maybe in 2 years' time, that person that was a bit hard-hearted, something happened in their life and they were softened, and then they see you, it's that same church. It's that same guy. It's that same, in fact, forget them. Wait for the witnesses to come instead. Yeah? They'll be out again soon, won't they? Still kind of seem to be blaming COVID. But COVID, I don't know. they do, don't they? Have you seen any witnesses about? I haven't seen any witnesses about. We're 2 years later, aren't we? Something like that. But look, when we knock on the door, we want to be leaving them with a good impression as much as possible. It might be that you have to bite your tongue. It might be that you have to turn the other cheek. It might be that you just have to go, okay, well, I'm not here for a debate. Because it can be tempting to get in a debate, can't it? For me, look, if they say, one of the first things I'll ask them, when they start to give me that feel that they're just ever, if I showed you from the Word of God, is there anything I show you from the Word of God that convince you? Nope, see you later. That's it. Like, what else do you need to say to them? If they don't want to hear if they just want to have a debate and show you how they're right, like, it's a waste of time. And then, like I say, that person might soften. That person might retire. Well, we're told to abstain from the fleshly lusts, aren't we? And look, that is a fleshly lust. Debate. Yeah, debate on the door, rows, arguments, feeling good about yourself, making them look really small because your knowledge of the Bible's better. Look, we're there to get them saved, yeah? We're ambassadors for Christ. He said in verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We want our conversation, our behaviour to be honest. And look, that includes when we're soul winning as well. When you go to preach the gospel to someone, okay, you're not trying to just force them to listen to you. And I'll say it again, I'm going to keep saying it as well, because people can have that temptation. Some people are good at that. By just making someone, they feel a bit intimidated. They don't really know what to say, so they just listen. And they listen, and then a lot of the time they'll just agree. Okay? That's not having your conversation honest. You're not there to try and force someone to hear you. Okay? You're there to give them the choice. Do you want to hear the Word of God? If someone says no, move on. Yeah, but don't say it in a way that you do want to hear, don't you? Blah, 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 blah. Look, waste of time. Waste of time, and you'll often get false salvations like that as well. Because people get intimidated and then they just say what you want to hear. Okay, you want to give them the option. Do you want to hear? Okay, sometimes even, okay, you sure you want me to go? I'd like to, like, obviously you're not trying to put them off, but you want, look, sometimes you get that feel, don't you? Yeah. And halfway through, I might stop and say to someone, would you like me to carry on? And if they say, if they want to hear, the gospel, they're going to say yes. Yeah. Okay? You don't have to force someone. And if you're forcing people, you're going to get false salvations. Right. Okay? Don't bully people. Don't make people listen to you. Don't get offended with someone when halfway through they go, well, how long? Well, don't you want to know how to get saved? Like, look, they start asking you that sort of stuff. It's like, look, I can move on. Okay? Because it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. We want our conversation behaviour to be honest, because that is dishonest, really. Because really you're just forcing someone to agree, forcing someone to tick the box, forcing someone because they don't really know how to say no to you. And it's very easy to do that, especially with teenagers and kids, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to make sure they want to hear, not just are so intimidated that they're just frozen and going, okay, yes, no, sir, yes, okay, yeah, done. Okay, some will speak against us as evildoers, won't they?
Yeah.
Many will speak against us as evildoers. They still may, by your good works, glorify God in that day when maybe they do hear it, yeah? When maybe they do hear the Word of God. And maybe they do want to hear it. So, like I said, that means be polite, yeah? Be kind to our neighbours. Be helpful. Yeah, look, we're moving in. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're New Independent Fundamental Baptists. Yeah, they're not going to like what we preach. Yeah, they're not going to like what we stand for. But let's hope that they like everything else about us. Right. They might deny that they do, but don't give them anything else, yeah? Right. So make sure when they're... Look, that, and that means that we don't need to harass people. We don't need to harass people outside the building. We don't... Look, offer someone the gospel, by all means. You feel to do that? Yeah, offer someone the gospel. They don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it, yeah? Okay, we don't need to be, you know, basically rude to people or off with... Look, you can turn up at our new church building, be nice to the neighbours, yeah? Be nice to everyone else. Be polite, be respectful. Okay, it's not just soul winning though, either, is it? It's not just soul winning. It includes in the church too, we're going to have visitors to the church. Okay, we are going to have... We've already had visitors to this church. I'd imagine with time we're going to have more visitors to the church. Okay, that means not everyone flocks around them to give them the gospel. Okay, just to make that clear, just in case everyone's a bit unsure how it works at our church, okay? We don't want queues of people checking their salvation, okay? That's not how it works, yeah? And, well, I don't know, I better just check, yeah? Because then people are like, I don't want to go to that church because all they do is ask me if I'm... what's going to happen when I die, yeah? Is that... This happens, okay, at churches, and I hope it's not going to happen at our church. Okay, look, the ushers and myself are aware of who's new, either myself or I'll ask someone if I want them to give someone the gospel, okay? We don't need, like, everyone just, oh, well, they're new, I better ask them as well, okay? That's weird, okay? We don't need that. Just wait. If I ask you to, go ahead and do it, yeah? Otherwise, look, just wait. We're not going to let someone just leave. I'm not going to, oh, well, never mind. Oh, no, five people didn't intercept them on their way out. Never mind. Next time, guys, you better, you know, make sure you're at the door a bit earlier, yeah? Okay? Look, this church has to be run in the right way. Now, with that as well, okay, it's the same with new converts. New converts. If someone invites someone to church, yeah, if you've got someone saved, or maybe you haven't got them saved, yeah, look, if you haven't got them saved, talk to me, yeah, and we'll work out who you think maybe they might respond to. Maybe someone's going, well, I'll bring you someone, but I know they might be a bit fun, they might be more respect, they might respect you more, brother, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be like, that guy shouting at the church, I don't even want to hear him. Maybe they're going to be intimidated or something else. Maybe they want to hear, maybe it's a kid and they think they might respond better to her. Maybe someone a bit younger doing it. Whatever it is, we're going to work that out. Don't just bulldozer people when they come in. Now, with new converts who it seems have got saved, okay, it's not everyone's job in the church to disciple them, okay? Remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not everyone's job to disciple them. When a new convert comes in, it's that person that's brought them in, okay, that's got them saved. Yeah. Then between them and myself being leader of the church, it's our job to disciple them. Yeah. So please do not be going up to new converts and then trying to tell them how they need to go out soul winning, they need to do this, look, they've literally just got saved. Yeah? They've just got saved. Okay? Look, if they've just got saved, they've just come into a church, fairly new, they're with that person who's their spiritual father or mother, yeah? Okay? They can look after them, then they can decide between them and myself how we think the best way is of those two. So please don't just be beelining new converts to start trying to disciple them yourself. Okay, and that includes especially kids in the church. Okay? You should not be going up to any kids in the church and questioning their salvation. Okay? If you're doing that, you're well out of line. Okay? That's their parents' responsibility.
That's good.
Okay? And by the way, I ain't going to baptize anyone unless they've said to me they've professed faith in Christ. So you don't need to be checking with them afterwards either. Okay? Because look, if they're not, look, there'll be people that get baptized that aren't saved. That will happen. But if that happens, then look, ultimately, it's going to come out eventually.
Yeah?
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You're not going to, well, I'm going to be the hero here or whatever, or the exposer or something else. Look, we're not here to do that. Okay, they know clearly, we preach the gospel clearly, and we will, with anyone that we're unsure, preach the gospel to. And before they say, they have to make sure, I do the best I can for them to say they're saved. Okay, it's no one's job here to be questioning kids and going up to kids and trying to, well, are they really saved? Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And like I said, it's not the job, obviously, of everyone in the church to be checking each other's salvation either, okay? Because I had someone come to the church who was like, I can't preach the gospel every week. I was wondering if I'm, like, getting re-saved or something. Because it was weird, because they were saved, but... And sometimes people won't always give the answers that you think,
right.
Yeah? And sometimes people won't exactly answer like you do when you give your gospel presentation,
right.
Okay? So just bear that in mind as well. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14:40, you don't have to turn there, says, let all things be done decently and in order. That's how we want things done in our church, okay? Decently and in order. And that goes for everything in the church. Everything we do here will be a reflection of our church as we move, yeah? So, for example, how the kids behave. Yeah, how your kids behave is going to be a reflection of us and the church, yeah? Whether or not, you know, we're being up here in honour, or whether we're down here because people who come in and visitors come into the church see the kids just tearing the place up. Or maybe, and look, we don't have kids that do that here, in case you're thinking, you know, oh, we look, we've got some great behaved kids here. And look, what a testimony they are. All these kids sitting here quietly listening to the preaching. You're not going to see that in pretty much any church around this country. Yeah, and look, we're proud of you guys here, yeah? It's amazing, it's great, to see that, okay? But obviously, when we come out of the church as well, okay? Kids, you know, don't, right, we're outside the church, now it's time to start, you know, boxing each other outside the church or whatever else, yeah? Look, kids will be kids, okay, at the end of the day, but we want to be a testimony, don't we? We want to be, and with the way our family integrated church runs as well. So if no one's following the rules of that and going, I refuse to leave the church. No way. It doesn't matter if the kid's screaming and crying. I am not leaving because my kid's going to sit in the church from zero, from 1 week old until they leave my home. Yeah? You're a bad testimony. Okay? Okay? If your child is making all stuff, just go outside. Yeah? Simple. Then people will come and go, and they won't go, that family integrated model is a bit weird because they're literally like a chorus of kids moaning, crying, screaming, kicking off and everything else, and they refuse to go. Okay? So we want to follow it. We want to follow the rules of church. Let all things be done decently and in order. And it also goes for how we come and go too, adults. Okay? So remember that as well. Even driving. Oh, I know. This is a dodgy one. Yeah? Yeah? Don't give them something to criticise us for. Because, look, they'll be looking for something, won't they? Yeah? Because, look, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, yet they want anything to criticise us for. Verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the King as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So speeding down the road to and from church, parking illegally, all that stuff is a bad testimony, isn't it? Sure. Littering. What about road rage? Yeah, you come out, someone from one of the neighbouring places gets in your way, you're like shouting out the window and stuff. That's a bad testimony, isn't it? And again, it can be tempting. Some people drive like idiots, don't they? Yeah. In fact, they've got there. They've got, because it's like in this industrial area, they've got this this road narrowing, like, you know those stupid like metal bollards which destroy cars, yeah? And they're always just covered in paint, yeah? Scraped up, scratched up. And they're pretty narrow, the ones that go in there from one side when you come in there, okay? Just to warn you ladies, joke. just to warn you guys out. Okay, just to warn you guys out there, okay? They have some narrowing like bollard things as you come in that destroy cars, yeah? And they are pretty narrow. I went to go there the other day and I was waiting behind a guy, yeah? Behind a guy who was readjusting on his backing up and trying to straighten up. I was like, come on, man, just drive through it. I could be like that because my van's quite narrow anyway, so I was all right. But, yeah, so look, you don't want to be behind there beeping the horn. Come on, man, what are you doing? You can't even drive, yeah, and everything else. Yeah, we just want to be, we want to be a good testimony, don't we? Because otherwise, without that well-doing, we're just giving the haters more justification for their hate, aren't we? Yeah, more justification. They're trying to find anything. Go back to 1 Peter 1 from verse 14. Well, you're in first. Oh, no, sorry, 1 Peter 1. First, just go back to the first chapter there. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay, that's all manner of behaviour. Everything we do, everything you do, yeah? You want to be saying to yourselves, look, am I representing God properly here? Am I representing Christ properly here? Look, we're going to get stuff wrong, yeah? Okay, I'm not saying you're all going to suddenly just, you know, be perfect and walk on water, you know, spiritually speaking and everything else. No, but we want to try and be holy, shouldn't we? Yeah, because we're representing God. We're going to a new place now. We're going to a new town. Yeah, we're going to make some waves there eventually, aren't we? Okay, but we want to do that for the right reasons, don't we? Yeah, we don't want it to be because of our own issues, our own problems. And remember, it's a collective thing. Okay, so you could have the whole church, yeah? The whole church are just respectful, polite. When they're soul winning, they're polite and respectful to their neighbours. Everything's nice. They're just respecting the rules. They're respecting the laws of the land and everything else. And then you have one person in the church, one Achan, and everyone else is going to suffer, aren't they? Yeah, everyone else is going to suffer. It's a collective thing. And look, we want to make sure, we want to encourage each other. And go back to Deuteronomy 26. Go back to Deuteronomy 26. So we're just going to look at that verse, for those two verses for the last time. Last two verses. So Deuteronomy 26, where we started. Okay, Deuteronomy 26 and from verse 18 says, "And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honour, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken." So, I want to make one last point there. He said to be an holy people, not an holier than thou people. Okay, let's remember that. He said to be a holy people, not a holier than thou people. And you have to know, but God says that these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Amen. Yeah, we want to be holier. We don't want to be holier than now. Okay, because God hates those people. And when people come into our church, we don't want them to sit there and go, yeah, but they're a bit like, they come across really judgmental. Now, people will come out with that excuse anyway, don't they? Oh, it's so good that, I don't go to church because everyone's so judgmental. Like, really, what church is that? But look, maybe there are churches like that, aren't there? Yeah, I've been in churches which are like that. We don't want to be like that, do we? Okay, we don't want to be holier than now, because God says there are smoke in his nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Okay, and the ways people do that is they find a thing that they're doing all right in, and then that becomes their whole sort of, that hill to die on. Everyone has to be right in this way, but forget everything else in your life, yeah? Okay, and then they're preaching it, trying to lift themselves up and make out like, look how holy I am. And it can be subtle, that as well. And what we don't want is people to come here and start to feel insecure around some of the people of this church, because they're constantly making them feel a little bit insecure about whatever it is, yeah? About whatever it is with their parenting, whatever it is with the way they do this or do that. Look, I'll preach the word of God from the pulpit. The rest of the time, we want to be welcoming to people, we want to be loving to people. We don't want to be trying to lift ourselves up, appear to be these great holy people, nose up in the air because I am holier than thou. Just be nice people, be normal. Don't try and make people feel rubbish about themselves. Don't try and lift yourself up with whatever it is that you think you've got sorted against other people. We want to try and be holy, but not holier than now, yeah? So the title is Moving Home God's Way. We want to tower over Wickford in praise. We want to tower over Wickford in name, and we want to tower over Wickford in honour. And really, we want to tower over Essex, we want to tower over the UK, don't we? We want to be a shining light, yeah? And we want to be set upon a hilltop. We want to make sure that people know, look, that's where they are. That's where you go if you want to hear the real word of God preached, yeah? Amen. On that, let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for, a great chapter in the Bible there, the Deuteronomy chapter 26 there, just that second half, especially just showing us there, how you want your people lifted up, how you want them to be recognized, to be, high in praise, to be high in name and high in honor. And we pray that you'll help us to be that as we move buildings now, as we move to another town, as we go to another area, as we go to conquer another area, we go to make a massive impact on that area now, and to go on and not just obviously concentrate on that area, but to spread out and just to keep preaching the gospel going further afield in this nation. We pray that you'll help us as well with that in the future, to be planting other churches around this nation as well. And we pray that you just help us to just fulfill your will in our lives and in our collective lives as a church, and help us to maintain those blessings that we've received so many so far from you. Help us to continue to be a church that you want to bless. And we pray that you help us, starting this afternoon with that, to want to go out now and preach the gospel, to be an ambassador here in Southend still, to know that we're representing you, we're representing your church, we're representing a real church. Help us to do that properly. Help us to do that, as you'd want us to do that. Help us to get many people saved and return back for this evening's service. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Amen.